Are we ready to be encouraged? Anybody need encouragement this morning? Okay, this is for you. No, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. We all need an encouraging word. Every day, every week, for our faith, for our lives. Let's say this together here. We all need an encouraging word. Oh, you're with me. Okay, I couldn't hear you at first. Okay. We all need an encouraging word every day, every week, for our faith, for our lives. Have you ever heard the song Home, Home on the Range? How many of you have heard that song? We got it up there? There we go. Let's sing it together. And there's a particular word I want to focus on there. But let's sing it together. Do you remember how it goes? Okay. As I get rid of my cold. Okay. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. How many of you have never heard this song before? So all the young people out there. Okay, parents, you need to be singing this a little more at home. It's a great song. We all need an encouraging word. And this song was playing in my mind over the last few weeks as I've been anticipating this message. This discouraging word. But we need an encouragement. Why does it matter? Why do we need the encouragement? Because we all struggle through a day or through a week with our weaknesses. Whether it's a spiritual weakness, maybe it's a physical weakness. We just feel weak, or we don't have the energy to do what we need to do or make it through the day. Or there's actual discouragement. Somebody has said something or done something to us that really discourages us. Maybe there's fear that's getting at us, and I'm afraid, and I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I can cross that line. I don't know if I can go over that hurdle. Or maybe you feel shaken. Something has happened. Something's been said. You've gone through something where you're just feeling shaken, or you're in distress, or maybe you've got people opposing you, or maybe there's a persecution going on in your life, in your friends, in your family. And there's times in our family, in our health, at our work, in our finances, in our marriages, in our friendships, in all kinds of places that we go through every moment of the day. Maybe even in your sleep, you need encouragement. We all need encouragement. We're going to look into 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to carry on over the next couple of months. We're going to work through 1 Thessalonians. Sorry. So you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we read through this, I want us to catch how encouraging the Apostle Paul is. Don't go there yet. Okay, how encouraging the Apostle Paul is to the church. Now, just to remind us, to understand, the Apostle Paul and his friends, Silas, probably Timothy, and a couple others, went to Thessalonica, which is in northern Greece. And they were there anywhere from 3 weeks or 2 months, maybe, they think at the outset, maybe 2 months. And then he and his friends were run out of town. Literally run out of town. They were opposed. They were beaten. They were persecuted. They were saying, get out of town. Get out and don't ever come back. And in fact, they actually captured one of the believers from the church that he started. And he had to post bond and promise that he would never invite Paul and his friends back to Thessalonica. So while Paul was away, and his friends, they were really concerned because they'd only spent 2 months with this church. How is this church doing? How are they going? And it just distraught, they were just distraught as to what's going on. We only got to be there a short amount of time. I hope they're still together. And when they, and we'll read on and in 1 Thessalonians, we'll read on and they'll say, I couldn't handle it anymore, and I knew that I couldn't go back, and Satan also prevented me. So I sent Timothy, my best partner, my best ministry partner, to go and to visit you guys. And then what he did is he came back after a while and reported, and then Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians back to the church and saying, Timothy came back with an amazing report. And so you can imagine this church, probably our size, maybe a little smaller, gathering together in a large home because they had heard Paul sent a letter to them to encourage them. So I'm going to read this letter. And I want you to just follow along in your Bibles or just close your eyes and listen and try to imagine. You've never read this book before. Try to imagine that you're with this church, our church, and you're listening for the first time an encouraging word. You're hearing the Apostle Paul lift you up. You're hearing the Apostle Paul encourage you and show appreciation for who you are. This letter is from Paul and Silas and Timothy. We are writing to the church, the called out ones in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God. You belong to God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace. May He give you peace. We always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. Now, I want us to understand something here. I can't help but imagine that the Apostle Paul is writing back in probably 50 AD. I can't help but wonder if he's thinking ahead to 2025. And he's imagining all these churches around the world that are growing and thriving. And I can't help but wonder in his mind, maybe he doesn't know about Rosenort or Rosenort Community Church. But I wonder in his mind if he's looking ahead going, this is where the church is going to be. And almost 2,000 years later, there's going to be a church, this church, in Rosenort. And he's looking ahead. We always thank God for you and we pray for you constantly as we pray to our God and Father about you. We think about your faithful work, your loving deeds, and enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you. He loves you and has chosen you to be His own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And we know that our concern for you from the way we lived, that we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. And as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. You have become examples to other believers in the town of Rosenort. You have become examples to other believers in the RM of Morris. You have become examples to the churches in Winkler and Altona and Sanford and wherever they may be. You've been an example. You've become an example. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia and the RM of Morris. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols. You turned away from idols. You came to God and to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you were looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came to Rosenort, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So you can see that we're not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you over with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from anyone or you. As apostles of Christ, we certainly have a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children among you. Or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her children. We loved you so much that we shared not only the good news, God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witness, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless towards all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you. We encouraged you. We urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that you received this message from us. You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea and all over, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus, and now they have persecuted us too. They fail, these persecutors, they fail to please God, and they work against humanity, and they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has finally caught up with them at last. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when He returns? It's you, church. Yes, you are our pride and joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decide to stay alone in Athens, Greece, and we send Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and gospel worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you. We sent him to encourage you in your faith. And we sent him to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you're going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we're with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and our work would have been useless. Keep in mind that as our faith goes, so goes our lives. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first 5 verses. I want to focus on it for a few more minutes here. The Apostle Paul wanted to strengthen the church that he'd only known a couple of months. He wanted to strengthen them. He wanted to comfort them. He wanted to urge them. He wanted to call them forward. He wanted to move them. He wanted to motivate them in their faith. Keep growing. Keep growing. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to help establish their faith. He wanted to exhort them. He wanted them to be resolute. He wanted to say, keep going. We all need that encouragement. That's what he's doing. And this whole letter, could you hear the encouragement that he was blessing and encouraging? How discouraging it is for a hockey team to be sitting at home crowd and everyone is really discouraged about their playing or their lack of playing. And the crowd goes immensely silent. Nothing's worse than not getting being cheered on for anything you're doing. To have no encouragement. And the Apostle Paul says, you just need to be encouraged. We need that encouragement every day. Every day, we need an encouraging word. He wanted to make sure that no one would be shaken. See, things come along in our lives that really shake us up, that rattle our faith, that overwhelm us. And we're going, oh, I remember talking to some seniors on their deathbed and visiting with them, and they're asking me, they've lived a full life of faith. They've followed Jesus all their life. And they ask me in various different questions, is Jesus really true? Is my faith strong enough? Will I make it to heaven? And I look at them and I'm going, you? Of course. Of course Jesus is real. Of course he loves you. Oh man, you're an example to me. Be encouraged. Jesus is ready any minute now. Over the next little while, he's going to take you home. Don't worry. He's caught you. We all need that kind of encouragement because we get shaken. We start to doubt. And I think that's what's happened. We talk a lot about the deconstruction of the faith. And I think what has happened is the tempter, we'll talk about that in a moment, the tempter has come along to all kinds of people and shakes their faith. And they don't know what to do. And instead of going to somebody they can trust, somebody they know to ask the hard questions, they start going all over and start deconstructing. And what happened is that something happened that they got shooken up. The very pillars of whatever their faith was just shooken up. And I can imagine this group in Thessalonica, they were hitting on hard times. And let alone their regular life, not just about the faith, but their own health issues, their own persecutions, their own marriage struggles, their own struggles with their friendships, their own struggles at work. They were getting onslaught with all kinds of things, and their faith was being shooken up. They were unsettled. They were disturbed. They were rattled. They were rattled. And all of that comes, and Paul says here in verse 5, I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you. It's interesting that a few verses earlier, he calls the tempter by name, Satan. He calls him by name. And then a few verses later, he just gives him a small t tempter. And the reason he's doing that is he's giving us a hint or a strong suggestion that this is what Satan does. When Jesus started his ministry, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to meet who? Satan, who did what with Jesus for 40 days? Tempting them to sin. And right at the end of the 40 days, the weakest that Jesus would have been, because he was still human, he now comes with those three questions to challenge him. And to draw him into worship Satan instead of God. And he was able to resist it. And so Satan comes along to all of us. And it's so subtle. He tempts us to go here. He tempts us to go there. And he throws in those thoughts. Where did those bad thoughts come from? Where did those evil thoughts come from? Where did those doubts come from? And what he does is he turns it around in our mind, and we start turning them into I questions. I don't know if I can trust God. I don't know if I can believe God. I don't know if this is true. And what he's saying before that, he's going, you don't know if you can trust God. You don't know if he's believable, if he's trustworthy. You don't know if it's true. And we turn it. He knows how to turn it in our minds where we go, I don't know. He's tempting us off the path. He's tempting us to wane away from our strength and our encouragement. And then the Apostle Paul sends Timothy and says, when I could stand it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was strong. Was their faith strong? The question for us is our faith strong? What is it that hammers at our faith sometimes? What is it that discourages us? What is it that causes us maybe to abandon our faith or deconstruct our faith? What causes us to doubt our faith? And so Paul wanted to encourage him, so he sent Timothy for a while. I don't know how long he was there, but he sent him to spend time with the church in a large group setting, in small groups, one-on-one, encouraging. He's asking, how strong is your faith, church? And we have to ask ourselves, me, you, each of us, how strong is our faith? Now, the word encourage is kind of like encourage, three syllables. So you have N, courage. Courage. We need courage to persevere. We need courage to accomplish. We need courage to play. We need courage to work. We need courage to live. And courage comes and goes throughout the day. Courage can ebb and flow through the day, through the week, or a monthly basis. And we can go for a season being encouraged, and then we inevitably hit a season of discouragement. And we need to be strengthened and uplifted and encouraged. I've noticed over the years as being a pastor and talked to people for years, and I've had people tell me, "Yeah, sorry, Pastor, I wasn't in church last week because I was just having a bad day." Okay, I can understand. Can we all understand bad days? Where's the best place to be when you're having a bad day? Right here. We've got great tarts back there. Make sure there's a cherry one left for me. We've got tarts, we've got coffee, we got tables, we got people. It doesn't matter what hell of a week you have. I'm going to be that bold. It doesn't matter what hell of a week you've had. I don't care how bad. On Sunday, be here. Because we need each other. We need to strengthen each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to make sure we're not overwhelmed. We're here together. That's why I created the church. To be encouraged, to be strengthened. How strong is our faith? How strong is our courage? Application and reflection. Where can I go? Where can I go? Or where can I limit discouraging words towards me or others? Where can I increase encouraging words towards me and others? And sometimes we're our worst discouragers. Some of the things we say to ourselves, we do that self-talk. You know, I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. Boy, that was really dumb of me to do that. I'm so bad. Why would we do that? That's our worst enemies. Who are the people in my life that can help me gain courage? Who are the people in your life, in my life, that when I am having a bad day, when I need to be strengthened and encouraged, that I can call up and say, "I'm having a bad day. Can we talk for a little bit? Can we do a coffee? Can we get together?" Who are those people? I hope you have one or two or three or ten of them. Doesn't matter. You need somebody in your life that you can call. And who are the people around me that need courage? Throughout your week, think about, pray about, is there one person that I should call this week? Because they need some encouragement. They're just on my heart, on my mind. They need encouragement. Who can I call this week to pray with on the phone? Pray with on the phone. That'd be amazing. Let me conclude with this story. And I can tell it publicly now. I couldn't a year ago or a couple years ago. When I was a driver at First Student Canada, driving school bus in Winnipeg, I may have told some of you parts of this story. There was another bus driver that pulled in as we were parking our bus, and I looked over at him, and he pulled in, and I was just going to wave, but he sat there, and he went, and he looked so discouraged. So I walked over. I said, "Larry, how are you doing?" "I'm just not doing well at all. I struggle with depression and a couple of other things, and it's just a bad day." So we talked a little bit. And then I said to him, I said, Can I pray for you?" His response, "No, please. I don't need that. I don't want that." "No problem. I'll pray for you on my own, but talked a little bit." And then I kept just connecting with him different times at the shop. And we started doing coffee. Did supper a few times, and we talked about his life, and I discovered that he'd actually grown up in a Christian home. He'd actually gone to a Bible college, but through a number of overwhelming circumstances in his life and his family and his marriage and all that, he just said, "I don't need God anymore. He's not helping me for nothing. I'm walking away from God." So we just kept connecting and talking, and I never preached at him. I never did anything about pushing him and challenging him. I was just his friend, because he just needed some encouragement. And he let me pray over the meal, so we're sitting at McDonald's, probably need to pray over that meal, but I'd pray, and then we continue to talk, and he'd throw out all kinds of questions. I'd talk about my move to Rosenor, to you guys, and he was interested in that, and all of that. Then April of 2023, called me up and he goes, "Hey, can we do supper again?" "Absolutely." I said, "What's up?" "I think I want to invite Jesus back into my life." I said, "Absolutely. Let's do it." So we met. Well, I think it was at Sage Creek at McDonald's. And we talked, started to eat, and I said, "So Larry, what's going on?" He goes, I need to invite Jesus back into my life. I need him." So I led him in a prayer, and then I continued to meet with him and encourage him. And he had still, all the problems didn't go away, but there was a change, a neat change in him, just slowly but surely. This last Friday, I attended his funeral, his memorial. He died a month ago on Friday. And he had told the pastor that led the funeral that he had invited Jesus into his life in April of 2020. And that gave incredible encouragement to the family and to those there and to all the bus drivers that were also at this memorial. I tell this story for just one simple point. Part of it is we never know when somebody will die, that we know. But all I did, all that we need to do, is just be a friend. I didn't witness to him, I didn't correct him, I didn't give him advice as to how to live. I was just his friend. And you and I, we all know people that just need encouragement. I miss Larry. He was becoming a friend. It was really neat. seldom is heard, a discouraging word. That's what we need. So I'm going to ask us to stand. Randy, if you want to come on up. And I want you to, I want to do something a little more pastoral with you. Randy, pastor. I'd like you to just bow your heads. Close your eyes if you need. Not looking around. And I'm not going to call you out in any way, but if you're here this morning and you need to be encouraged, would you just raise your hand for a moment? If you need encouragement this morning, just slip your hand down. If you need encouragement, just lift it. And if you would, just put your hands out in front of you, as if to receive a gift. And I'm going to pray for you.
Encourage us this morning. Thank you that we can be together.